Did you know that you can be an unmovable force for the Lord? Find out today. We're going to tell you all about it in the verse we have for you today. Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can find out all about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, your Christian coach, helping you discover what God has next for your work, your ministry, and your life. Learn more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about 1 Corinthians 15:58 to help deepen your Christian living.
Yeah, today we're going to be sharing from this verse. You know, we always like the verses that we pick for you. I don't think we've had one we don't like yet.
That's right.
No, we haven't. So I'm going to be sharing a verse from you from actually two translations. And, you know, we usually try to pick one, but then we alter with other ones to back, you know, scripture, to back up different scriptures with different versions. But I was really torn between these two. So I'm just figuring I'm just going to read them both to you so you can get more, more fullness from the verse itself. Because they're rich. So here you go. So it's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And the first one I'm reading you from is the King James Version. So it's a little wordy, but you'll get the gist of it. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor, they spell a little funny here, is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm also going to read you from the NIV Version, which is very similar, but it will add some stuff. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Mm-hmm. Always give yourself fully to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So they rearrange the sentences a little bit, but it's pretty much, you can get the gist of it when you hear both of these. So we need this verse reminder. That's why we do this podcast. We want to help you guys, you know, be strong in the word to be able to withstand what comes against us. Yeah. So we want you to think of yourself as unmovable, right? When it comes to working for the Lord, because the enemy, boy, he's clever, you know, because when we're called to do a good work and we live out your kingdom purpose, you need to form this attitude that you're not going to be moved by the world, you know, or what comes against you about what people say, you know, anything, you know. So I want you to stick with us as we're going to dive into this verse and we're going to share it with you. But Jo Heather, what are your initial thoughts on this verse?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll be honest, before today, working on today's show, you know, I hadn't really meditated on this particular verse. But as I was looking into it, you know, I just felt the richness of it and that there's so much to unpack in a verse. I mean, it's just a lot in here. And so as I begin, you know, looking at the verse, I noticed, you know, obviously what you've already said, the very first thing, Paul is charging us to be unmovable. And so as I was looking at that, I was like, what is unmovable? What is that? And so suddenly, you know, as I was meditating on the verse, I had a mental image. You guys know that imagery is just a part of how I believe God helps me understand his word. You may not be that person. That's okay. God speaks to each of us individually. And so, but as I was meditating, I was like, what is unmovable, God? And all of a sudden, I pictured this large boulder. It was in my mind's eye. And so I was like, okay, this large boulder. And so I asked myself, well, how can I be unmovable like that boulder? And so as I was looking at the verse, you know, Paul was saying, you know, it's about, you know, when you're really studying the verse, it's about absolute trust in God. And there's a lot to this. There's a lot more to it. So I'm going to pause here and just say, hey, strap in. It's going to be a fun episode. Hang in with us.
Yeah, I love the boulder visual. I mean, you can see something of, because I always think about how the enemy tries to come up against us and get us to move off course. You know, and this is good because I know I talked about this before. You know, God says, told me to stay on course and do not waver. That's being unmovable, you know, being unmovable, you know, stay the course. There's a lot of verses that can back this up. But before I dive in a little bit more, I just want to let you know, remind you that if you are enjoying our podcast, you know, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. And don't forget to like, share, follow, and subscribe. And sharing is very important because it gets it out to other people. You can help us grow by partnering with us through prayer and financial support. And also, if you want to serve as a sponsor spotlight, just reach out to us, you know, and we'll get back to you. So we're going to dive in, and if you've never done this before with us, we basically just take the verses that we talked about, and we break them down in little digestible chunks so that, you know, you can, it's just nice to look at the, to take a verse and break it down and look at little parts of it, and then you look at the whole verse, you look at little parts, and then you kind of summarize it up after you've broken down a piece. It's just kind of a nice way to study the Bible. So, again, so the first part, you know, the King James Version says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable." And the NIV is, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you." That's the part I'm talking about right now. We're going to be talking about right now. So, this is being addressed from Paul to the Corinthians. So, and he calls them, I just love it. I love the word beloved. I do. Yes. You know, and he calls them beloved brethren. And we don't talk brethren. We don't go around, you know, my brethren today, you know. But it's basically, it's endearing. If you think about it, it's an endearing thing to be considered somebody's beloved. Now, the NIV words it a little bit differently. They say, dear brothers and sisters. And we talk like that today. My brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's the same thing. So he's addressing that. But this is also for us, right? We are in the body of Christ. And so we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the beloved brethren. So think of yourself kind of like that way. So the next word I want to look at, the word used is Paul says, be steadfast. You're like, not sure I know what that means exactly, but you can kind of gauge what you think it means because it's not a word that we typically use a lot. That's why they have other versions of the Bible, you know, but I like looking at the Webster's, and it's just free online. You can go look it up. So it's the Webster's 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and it's more of a Christian base. If you've never looked at that before, they have a lot of they reference the Bible a lot when they're looking at words. And so I really like looking at it. I think it's closer to the King James, even though it's many years apart from it. But anyway, so it defines it as constant, firm, you know, resolute, not flickering or wavering, right? So this lines up with how the NIV translated it to stand firm, you know, and I like thinking about, you know, like the not wavering, constant, standing firm, just like it says in Ephesians 6:13, and the NIV version says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, which is every day, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything else, what do? Stand. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah. So, the last word we're also going to talk about here is, you know, is unmovable. Let nothing move you. So, you know, King James says unmovable, and then the NIV says let nothing move you. Have you ever thought about that? The things that move us, the things that shake us up, you know? Don't you want to just be like that? I do. I know. I asked God a long time ago. I want unshakable faith. That's basically the same thing. Unshakable, unmovable, you know? So where do you stand about, and how do you stand? I just want you to think about this, about not letting things move you. Because, I mean, this is representing solid faith. When you think about, picture that boulder that Joe Heather was talking about, that's solid. That's a solid rock. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, not just saying that you won't let, and it's more than just, I'm not going to let people upset me. I'm not going to let, you know, people distract me emotionally. I'm not just talking about the emotional part in terms of that perspective, but it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. You know, it means unstoppable. It means you're not going to let people persuade you against what God's called you to do. You're just not. Yes. You know, you're just not going to do that. You know, you look at, God's calling me to do something. I'm going to do it, you know, and I'm not going to get off course. You know, despite what comes up against me, I'm going to stay on course. And, you know, like I already said, I mentioned it earlier, you know, God spoke to me, stay on course and do not waver. And I have to, I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit of that all the time. Because why? When you are trying to be unstoppable, unmovable, standing firm, you have forces come against you. I mean, I just picture the boulder, Joe Heather, and I picture like the enemy just trying to move it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know. But yes. Anyways, it's a great.
It's true though. You know, isn't that true? And as you're saying, you know, describing and sharing your thoughts, it was interesting. I recently there was a sermon at our church, and the pastor actually brought a person from the congregation up, and we were talking about from Ephesians 6, standing firm, and you stand firm in the strength of the Lord. But they demonstrated the physicality of it. When we're standing firm, you know, there's some stance here. Like, I'm forward, I'm leaning forward, I have strength there. If Tammy was in the room with me and she tried to push me over right now, if I was standing, she wouldn't be able to. If I'm laid back and just kind of not paying attention, then I would easily tip over. And that's what she's talking about, you know, with the boulder. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. But, that, you know, that there can be a mental physicality to it, if that makes sense. It can be physical if you need that physicality to stand up when you're in the spiritual battle, then do that. Because, you know, what does it look like? As I said when we started, what does it look like to be unmovable, unshakable? What is that for you? And maybe that's what you need to meditate on as you're listening to this show today. And I want to call your attention to something that I was noticing. Tammy was talking about, you know, when we look at the verse, we break it into chunks. And also we look at it in context, what's around it. And so the verse that appears just before the one we're talking about today, so verse 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says that we give thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if I can decide, so this is a decision here, I can be committed to be unmovable. Why? Because of the victory I have in Jesus. So if I try to be an unmovable boulder in my own strength, just like Tammy described, I'm going to get tipped over and I'm going to get rolled down the hill by the challenges of this life, by spiritual attack, by choices of others, by choices of myself. You know, I'm going to get tipped over and rolled. But when I draw on the strength from God, and Tammy mentioned there's a lot of verses that talk about his strength, then I know my feet are firmly planted on the solid rock of Christ. He is the true cornerstone. He's unmovable, and as such, I am unmovable in him. So you might be sitting there and going, this all sounds good, Jo Heather, but I just don't know. Well, let's let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? So the Scriptures say, all right, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look at this Scripture. Jot this down. 1 John 4:17. That tells us that as Christ is, so are we in this world. So, no, I am not perfect in my flesh, but in my spirit, I am made righteous and holy in this world because of Christ. So when the world is shaking or the ground is shaking under your feet, just remind yourself, wait, I am as Christ is in this world. I am unmovable because I stand on victory ground, and it's the Lord's strength that keeps me there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you should check out some of our older podcasts, because a lot of that you just said here, we have a lot of episodes that dive into those subjects, the victory in Christ, you know, about being, you know, being in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm just going through, and I thought you were going through, I'm thinking, yeah, we did a podcast on that. We did a podcast on that. We talked about that more. So definitely we got, I mean, this is episode, what, 80?
Mm, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So you have plenty to go back in and dive in more. Because we can't dive into every topic the same thing, but we know we repeat ourselves a lot. But I'm just encouraged. That was one of the things that came to mind when you're talking. Is go back. There's more. We talk about these things a lot more. If this is your first time tuning in, there's a lot more out there. So I'm going to talk about the second part of the verse. So in the King James Version, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then the NIV says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. So always is when. I love to ask these kind of questions. Always means there's never a time to not, right? Yes. Yes. So the King James uses the word abounding. Now, here's a definition of abound, because it's, again, another word that we just don't, I don't, you know, I'm abounding today, Jehovah. We don't talk like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just basically means to have or possess in great, you know, quantity, to be significantly supplied, to be great in plenty and be very prevalent. That's a good thing. Don't you think so? Mm-hmm. And the NIV says to give yourself fully. So I was thinking about this a lot, Jo Heather, with these, meaning that you don't hold back any part of yourself from serving God. You know, you don't serve him haphazardly. Mm-hmm. You know, you do it fully, fully. So the comparison here between these two verse translations is what really got my attention, because you're abundantly supplied from God to do what he calls you to do. But at the same time, the Lord is also, you know, saying that you fully give yourself to the work of the Lord. And I think, you know, if you want to be abounding 100%, you got to fully give, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's kind of like you give and receive with it. So it's kind of like there's expectations on both ends. So I kind of like looking at different versions because it kind of helps me to see things differently. Because both of these versions are true. You can have abundantly supply the work for the Lord that you're also given to. You know, you can kind of see that. And when you look at your past things that you've done, that you saw an abundance that you, you know, from when, what you sow in. You can also look at your effort and you could say, I worked really hard on this. You know, I really sowed into it. I went above and beyond what I thought I was capable of. And look what the harvest came. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you can look at your life and kind of look at that. So let's look at the next part, which is to the work of the Lord. So what is that? Have you thought about that? You know, we talk about kingdom purpose here a lot. So your kingdom purpose is the good works that you do for God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and we just had a women's conference on that very subject. It's yes. a big, it's, you know, your kingdom purpose is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's what you were created for. And it doesn't just have to just be that. It can just be the little things of the day that you're called to do. Maybe you're called to your grocery shopping and the Lord says, I want you to give that person $10. Mm-hmm. You know, they can barely afford their groceries, mm-hmm. you know. And so you just have to be willing to abound in what the Lord calls you to do. So I'm going to pass back to Jo Heather because I know she's got some things she's going to enrich you on.
Yeah. You know, it is in the little things, because when Christ called us to go and tell, he also said, you know, go and feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are, you know, naked, go to the sick, visit the prisons, you know, these are, and you can do that as you go about your life, because right now, as you're hearing this, you may be feeling overwhelmed. And to go, oh, Tammy and Joelle, I don't know how to always abound in the work of the God, you know, of the Lord. This is hard. You know, this is hard. I don't understand this. And this doubt and fear and uncertainty might be inside of you. That might be especially true when circumstances don't look like things are going God's way. And you're like, God, I've prayed over these children for 15 years. And they have still not come back to you. I have planted seeds. I have watered the seeds. You know, I'm not seeing it, God. You know, how am I supposed to abound in that? But just let us encourage you today by persevering and persisting and keeping your eyes on Jesus. These are the ways that we can abound in the kingdom work God has set out for us. Because remember, time is experienced different on this side of heaven than it is on the other side. And, you know, the works that you're doing, those small things, Tammy said, you know, giving the $10 when you feel led to give, picking up the phone when somebody calls you and asks you to pray and you stop what you're doing and you pray right then. You know, all of these things, God is honoring that. And so I wanted us to look at this and have you flip over to Galatians 6, 7 through 10, because these verses, again, we use verses to interpret verses. These verses help us trust in the law of the Lord that talks about sowing and reaping. And so you may be saying right now, Jo Heather, I've been sowing. What's going on? But let's look at the word. Okay, so verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. So I share this so that you can be encouraged. You cannot feel overwhelmed by always abounding, right? Because guess what? The strength isn't coming from you. The strength is coming from the Lord. It goes back to what we said a minute ago of standing firm. The strength comes from Him. But what's so neat about our Daddy God is He doesn't say, just go and do what I said. He says, I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm going to give you some good stuff. You abound always. I'm going to bless you. And maybe you're not seeing the blessings, the fruit right at this moment. Rest assured, God has not forgotten. He is loving you and He is sending those blessings your way. So you just stand firm, be unmovable, keep abounding always in the good work of the Lord.
That's right. They will come. They will come. There's a season for things. And yeah, I mean, I've sowed a lot of things. I'm still waiting on some things to come that I've sowed. But I trust in the Lord that He's going to come through on what I've sowed. And I admit, as the verse she just was sharing with you, my God, how many times I've recited that back to the Lord? I'm getting weary, God. I'm getting weary, you know? But it's like you just stand, what's the option? What is the other option? I'm not quitting. I've talked about this in the podcast before. When I get weary, this is what I say. Don't let me quit. Don't let me doubt. Be my strength, Jesus. It's so simple because I can't, like she's saying, I cannot do this in my own strength. I'm not that strong. I'm not. I'm only strong in what God calls me to do because I know He's with me. Like she was talking about earlier, He's with me. You know, He's not going to call me to something that He's not going to equip me for. You know, He's not saying, okay, here, Tammy, here's your job assignment. Like I'm on a site. You know, I walk in, check in for the day. Here's your task for the day. See ya. Let me know when you're done.
Right.
You know? It's not like that. He's with you everywhere you go. He's preparing for you where He's going to send you. He's with you, you know, all the way till you get to the pearly gates of heaven and He'll be with you forever and evermore. Right. Mm-hmm. But He's going to be with you. So we're going to dive in here and talk about the third part of the verse. So the King James Version says, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the NIV says, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's basically, they're just reversing how they say it, but it's the same thing. You know, labor is work. I mean, nobody's denying that labor means work. I think you can read this and know what that means, right? Your work, your time, your energy, your resources used to labor is noticed. God notices. Other people can notice too, but God notices your effort. He knows your heart. He knows, you know, and so, because this is not work for yourself. You're not working for yourself. It's not what this verse is talking about. So it's not wasted. It's not going to be burnt up when you go to heaven when He tests your works. Because He's going to test them when you get to heaven. Did you do this for me or did you do this for yourself? You know, and so what does that mean? So I want to look at this word vain. And just before I jump in here, I'm thinking back to the first time this word, Joe Heather, came to me. I had had a poison oak experience where we were out in the woods, I touched poison oak and touched my face, and I looked like Porky Pig. I had to go to the emergency room, and I'm getting these cortisone shots. My heart's racing. I'm having this massive allergic reaction. And in comes this woman to give me my next shot. I'm laying there on the bed. My heart's going so fast. And she comes in, and she's primping up herself. Like this in the mirror, and just da da da, and chewing her gum, and just like, I've never seen anything like that before. And then she comes over and she's checking on me. And I asked my mother, I said, "What was that?" And she said, "That's vanity." And that was my first, because she was more concerned with her appearance than helping me hang on the stretcher. So that just came back to mind. That's a visual that you could paint for yourself. That was my first. Introduction to this word. So I kind of always kind of go a little bit back to that when I'm thinking about it. But vanity is not just, you know, we think of celebrities or different people who are or models or vanity. It's not just your outward appearance. You can be vain in other ways, right? So it's basically self-serving, you know, self-focused and self-credited. You know, that's meaning you're taking the credit for everything you do. I did it. I'm so great. Look what I accomplished. Look at my life. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what this word vanity means here. So that's not the type because it's saying not. Okay, you understand this is saying not in vain. So this verse is, it's not the kind of work that it's talking about here. You don't do it for yourself. So you don't get the credit. Do you understand? When you work for the Lord, the credit goes to the Lord, right? The glory goes to Heavenly Father. You know, so, and basically, this is servanthood attitude. And Joe, Heather, and I, we've talked about this servanthood attitude, and many other verses, like we were saying earlier. Go back and look at some of the stuff we've done. But anyways, I'm hoping this kind of paints a picture. And Joe Heather, she's going to share what she thinks about this part now.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is about attitude. It's about heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's about our heart. So as we abound to the work of the Lord and the service of the Lord, you know, Christ increases our faith, okay? Because Tammy was talking about, oh, we've talked about all these different, you know, these things are woven together, right? All things work together. So these things are woven together because we want to be strengthened for the work the Lord has set out for us beforehand, right? We want to be strengthened, and we are so in Him. God gives us the strength. And as Tammy said, we aren't laboring to check off this random checklist. We aren't set out and said, go, good luck, right? She said that. You know, but we are laboring in the joy and the strength of the Lord, because how are we laboring? We are laboring as sons and daughters, right? We are heirs to the kingdom of God. And that does mean eternal life with God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it also is relational. You know, I come from a family, I've shared this before, where, you know, when I was 12 years old, my dad leapt out of working for others to working for himself. And so I kind of grew up in this entrepreneur environment. And my brother, as he aged, you know, came of age, he went into the business with my father, and they've worked together. Gosh, it's, you know, the business is, I'm not going to say how old it is. It'll say how old I am. But, I know that when you work for your father, I mean, they've changed roles over the years, but I know when my brother worked for my father, don't you know, as a young man, he worked to boost up my father's business, to make my dad proud of him. He did it out of, like, I want you to see what I can do, Dad, you know, and I can do it because you taught me how to do it. And so when we work to the glory of God, it is what Tammy said. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. You know, we go, hey, Dad, I know you see what's going on. I want it to bring you glory. I don't want people to see me. I want them to see you. Because, you know, what an honor and a privilege to be a daughter of the King. And I want you to really think about that. Sometimes you might be listening today and you're really weary because you've served and served and served and served and served. And maybe you missed the fact that Jesus demonstrated for us there is a time to step away, to be rejuvenated. Christ modeled that, you know, when he stepped away, spent time with just the Lord. He stepped out of serving and went and spent one-on-one time with God. You know, maybe you need to hear that today. So that you can be reminded you're not working to check a list. You know, you're not working with the heart that others see you. You know, you're working to bring glory to God because it's an honor and a privilege. He's your dad and you're his child. And what a privilege for that, to be that heir. So that's a lot. I'm gonna let you meditate on that for a moment while I share with you that today's episode is sponsored by our very own Tammy, otherwise known as T.S. Thompson. She has a deep desire to move readers with her books and to share the light of God to uplift and inspire. She's blessed with the gift of storytelling and believes the world is in need of good family-friendly books everyone can enjoy. Man, are we all needing that right now? You can find out more about Tammy and her books at ts-thompson.com. That's ts-thompson.com. Now, if you want to sponsor a future episode or feature your favorite ministry effort, just contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Thanks, Joe Heather. I love that analogy you gave of your brother working for your father. Mm-hmm. That's a good way that people can picture that, you know, because yeah. we do want God to be proud of us, but not like in a prideful way, but just we want to know that he sees the labor that you're doing when nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sees the late nights you're putting in. he sees, you know, maybe you're a single parent and you're pulling a double shift, you know, you're working twice as hard. And if you don't get bitter over it and you keep a good attitude, he notices.
Yes.
He notices, you know, mm-hmm. and he encourages you up, mm-hmm. you know. So I really think that I hope this verse, you know, will help you stand firm.
Yeah.
When all that stuff comes against you, to help you not, you be unmovable, unstoppable in your work for the Lord. Don't give up because it gets too hard, or because, yeah. you know, maybe you don't feel like you have the finances to continue doing something, or maybe you don't have the time to keep doing something. Just go to the Lord about it. You know, keep your focus on Him. Because when we take mm-hmm. our focus off the Lord, that's when we get into trouble, right? You keep yeah. your focus on Him and what He's called you to do, and you stand firm. And the other important thing, we talk about this a lot on the podcast, is not just take for you and fill up your, you know, basin, like Joe was talking about the basin of water before. You know, we are to help encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ in their walk. You know, mm-hmm. because maybe, you know, this is what Paul was doing, right? Paul was encouraging the Corinthians, right? We yes. are to do that too and encourage each other. Maybe you see somebody who is weary. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can go over, take them to lunch. I think you need a break. Why don't we just go out and just go to lunch? You know, why don't we just yeah. go take a walk? Yeah. Or could I help you with this project so that maybe you can get some more time with your kids or something? You know, just there are ways that you can do it, but just take notice. And the Holy Spirit will put that on your heart. Mm-hmm. When you notice that somebody, I mean, I've been around people, God's put stuff on my heart for people who were taking care of loved ones that were declining.
Yeah.
And they didn't have anybody else, and they sacrifice. And He's like, why don't you go offer to go sit with that person for a little bit yeah. so they can go get a break? Why don't you go offer? You know, and you do. You reach mm-hmm. out. It's not convenient.
Right. Yeah.
It's not convenient. But anyways, that's what we're here. You know, we're here to encourage you up to be more Christ-like in your walk. Mm-hmm. Right, Heather?
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are dear friends, right? We were talking about that earlier. And we're reminding you today to stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourself into the work of the Master. Be confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
And with that in mind, I want you to really ask yourself, how can you apply this verse to your life this week? What is it saying to you? And what are you supposed to take from this? Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.